Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to two portions of scriptures, John 11, where we'll be having our lesson from, but also 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from where we will begin. So you'll want 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you'll also want John 11. And I know because you're gifted people, you'll be able to take care of both scripture areas. If you would, let's stand together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, some call it the love chapter. In chapter 12, Paul talks about spiritual gifts, and in verse 31 he says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And it begins, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," that's love in action, unconditional love, "I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." And then the great verse of this great chapter, verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this thought on love. Love in action. Love that requires nothing in return. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the love that was given to us on the cross when you were willing to die for us. Lord, we thank you now for the time we can be gathered together, one with another, singing songs of praise, giving our tithes and offerings, looking into your holy word. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Love. If you look it up in the thesaurus, it uses word like commitment. My wife and I have been married 43 plus years, and I thought I knew what love was 43 years ago, but I have found out I didn't know what love was, and I'm still working on it. But I know this, that I'm glad for the commitment that we have one for another. It's devotion, and we know that love will cause us to be devoted. It's affection, it's passion, it's tenderness. We live in a very aggressive society, in your faith, face society, a society of intimidation, of staring one another down. We have forgotten in many cases what love is all about. Charity. Again, if you look up the word in the thesaurus, you'll find words like kindness. Being kind one to another is one of the commitments of a believer. Generosity, a willingness to be generous. Benevolent. Compassion. Mercy. Jesus said in John 15, 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Love. If you would, the book of John chapter 11. and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3. I am positive that as I stand here, I could easily come down and sit down on the front pew, and I could call on one of many of you and say, chapter 11 is one of those chapters that all of us should be able to teach. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. I just want to see if you're listening. But it's an easy lesson because it's a familiar story. And it begins with verse 1, now a certain man was sick. Now we are not told what his sickness was, but it was a sickness unto death. Named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the feet, anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou what? Lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest. What an amazing thought. A certain man was sick. His name was Lazarus. And according to verse 3, Jesus loved him. According to verse 5, he also loved Mary and Martha. This man lived in Bethany, a short walk from Jerusalem, less than a mile and a half. That is a short walk, isn't it? Less than a mile and a half. There's going to be a walk for the Women and Teen Pregnancy Center. Walk for Life coming up in September on the 17th. It's a Saturday. It's a 5K run or walk. Pastor Stephen, I think, is doing the 5K run. I am going to do the 5K walk. I cannot remember the last time I ran a 5K. Oh, I never have. But a mile and a half walk isn't that far, especially for people of that time and era. They knew where Jesus was residing, for they sent him a note saying that their brother was sick. Now, we do realize in today's society that things move along much quicker. A number of years ago, I was talking to the mission director of the Baptist Bible Fellowship, and I was talking about people coming and going from the mission field, and he said that when he grew up on the mission field with his parents, that his grandmother died. And he said, we didn't know about it until about a month and a half after she'd been buried. He said, today, if grandma has a pulled fingernail, we know within 10 seconds. Things are just different today. Jesus was someplace in Galilee, and the sisters knew, and they sent him a note telling him that this one that he loved was sick. And they obviously believed that Jesus, who had healed hundreds and yea thousands of people, could come and heal their brother. And in verse 4 it says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he immediately got on the fastest train he could and went to the place. Doesn't say that, does it? No, it says he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, But I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. When Jesus heard the news that Lazarus was ill and had issues, Jesus said that this was going to be to the glory of God. You know, it's hard to think of sickness as something that will bring glory to the Lord. And yet we realize that there are times in which when we go through bad times and we go through times of ill health, it can bring glory to the Lord. I still remember when my mother was in hospice care over here at the Henry Ford Hospital, and the hospice woman came in to talk to Dad and to my mother and to family members, and she was talking to my mother and trying to comfort her and tell her, do you know what you're going through? And my mother began to tell her of her love for the Lord. And she began to tell her that she was not afraid, that she knew where she was going. And as she talked, the hospice care worker began to weep. And my mother had to comfort her. And you know, sometimes when we go through the difficult times of life, that is when we can be a testimony of the love of God. And Jesus said that this was going to be for the glory of the Lord. And yet Jesus does not immediately leave Bethany, but he waited 2 days. He waited for Lazarus to what? To die. Could not Jesus have kept him from dying? Absolutely. And yet he waited on purpose for Lazarus to die. You can only imagine what this delay was doing to Mary and Martha. As they waited for Jesus, and maybe they walked out to the end of the street and looked down the street and waited for Jesus to come. Maybe they sent out a servant and said, go see if you see him coming. And they were waiting. You know, when your loved one is going through a difficult time, sometimes it's very hard, isn't it? I remember when we got the news from Erica that Brian was in the hospital and that he was in horrendous pain. And so Don and I went over and we went into the room where he was over here at Beaumont Hospital. And we heard him long before we saw him. He was moaning and groaning. We did not realize at that time, nor did he, that he had a twisted bowel. Now, I'm going to tell you, from what I understand, when one has a twisted bowel, it is very, very painful. And he was begging for some type of relief. And I tell you, as a dad, it was devastating upon me. I wanted some morphine. That was a little bit of humor, folks. You can laugh at that. You know, you can imagine if Lazarus is about to die, you can imagine the sisters wanted what? They wanted Jesus to get there. They're waiting. And then Thomas talks about, what? Hey, did they want to kill you the last time you were in Judea? When you were in Jerusalem, weren't they going to stone you? Are you sure you want to go back there? I mean, Jesus was not a welcome visitor in Judah right now. Yet verse 11 tells us that Lazarus is sleeping and he's going to wake him up, not realizing the disciples that Lazarus was not sleeping in the sense of sleeping like you did last night, but that he was dead. Verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Mary and Martha's brother is dead. Now, how many of you automatically presume that Lazarus is older than Mary and Martha? There's just a feeling that he is older. I don't know. He may have been younger. Let me ask you the question. How many of you have lost a sibling? You have had a sibling that has passed away. Would you raise your hand? All over the auditorium, we have people who have lost a sibling. My brother died about 22 years ago. Donna's sister died about 10 years ago. We know what it's like to lose a sibling. And we know that Lazarus is dead and there's going to be grieving. In fact, at that point in time, they would hire people to come in and wail. It was just part of the tradition. But the grieving has begun. Family, friends, people he'd probably worked with. The whole town knows about the passing of Lazarus. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yet shall he live. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to him. And to paraphrase verse 21, Martha, not trying to accuse Jesus of anything, declares that if he had come sooner, that her brother would still be alive. And may I say this? What she said is true. He would still be alive. We have all grieved over the passing of a loved one, saying or asking, Lord, why? Why now? And yet, we know this, as Agatha Christie wrote, death comes at the end. One in one dies. Death comes. It's part of life. May I say this, that every heartbeat you take gets you one step closer to your end? We have no guarantee of tomorrow, do we? The fact of the matter is, we have no guarantee that we will get through today. And now that I am 63, boy, that's hard to say. That is really, really difficult. But now that I am 63, I realize that this is prime heart attack time. This is the time in which men oftentimes die. And I'm amazed at how many men I've heard of in the last month who died between the age of 61 and 64. And where am I? I'm between 61 and 64. Don, it's been nice knowing you. But you never know, do you? We don't know what caused Lazarus to die. But this time allowed Jesus to make another declaration. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's the next life. This is just the introduction to life. This time we spent on planet Earth, it only prepares us for our future abode, which is of one of two places. Either is in the presence of God in heaven, or it'll be in utter darkness and pain in hell. There's only one of two places that we will go. And we must prepare ourselves. And Jesus says that those that believe in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I think about this, of the family reunion that we're going to have when we get to heaven. Those people who have gone on before, those friends of ours that have gone to a better place. You know, sometimes we think of death as a terrible thing. To the believer, the death is the beginning of a wonderful thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can you think of a better place to be than with the presence of the Lord? Hebrews 12:1 tells us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, there are those who have gone before who are waiting for us. And I appreciate the testimony of Martha concerning Jesus. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. I believe that you are the Messiah. You are the one who is our Savior. You are the one for whom we have waited. What a great testimony. Yea, Lord, I believe. Verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. First Martha and now Mary. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Not accusing, but declaring a fact. In verse 33, we find that Jesus groans in the spirit and he was troubled. He had emotions. Notice what it says in verse 35. Jesus wept. I've heard my dad say on many occasions that tears are not wrong. That it's okay to cry at a funeral. It's okay to cry there in the hospital room when you see your loved one and going through a difficult time. It's okay to cry for your fellow brothers and sisters when they are going through difficult times. Jesus wept. He was in love with this man because he was a friend. Verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. You know, there are not too many explanation points found in the Word of God, but we find one there in verse 36. Behold how he loved him. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus love you? Now, how do you know this? Because there's that song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. They are yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. Is that how you know that he loves you? The Bible tells us he loves us, right? You know, the Bible tells us that he is love. God is love. And he loves us. How do you know he loves you? He was willing to die for you, wasn't he? That's amazing. Now, I'll be honest with you. I really care for Pastor Stephen. I really do, but I don't know that I'm going to die for him. As much as I care for him, I'm sorry, Lauren, I don't know that I'm going to die for him. Now, basically, there's one person in this room I'm going to die for. Right? I would. I mean, if a man came in that back door and he was aiming for you, I'd stand between you. That's because if he got you, I couldn't live anyways, right? Yes. But you know what Jesus knew? You know what God the Son knew? He knew that if he didn't die for you, you would spend all eternity in hell. He knew that. Jesus knew, God the Son knew there was nothing you could do to save yourself. You say, but I'm a good person. No doubt you are a good person in comparison to me. But you're not good enough to get yourself into heaven. I don't care how many good things you did. We read there in the book of Corinthians that if you do all these things, they're nothing if you don't have love. Was Jesus willing to die for you? He died for you because he loved you. You say, well, Pastor Paul, if you stood in front of a gunman and took the bullets that were meant for your wife, wouldn't that get you into heaven? No, you know where it would get me? Into the grave. No. What gets me into heaven is knowing Jesus Christ was my personal Savior. And Jesus loved me. And he was willing to die for me. And not for me only, but for all that will believe. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to know the Lord as Savior. Behold how he loved him. In verse 37, we find more accusations, and some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? See, we see death as a terrible thing. There are worse things than death. May I say this? Not living your life for the glory of the Lord is worse than dying. I know this. I've heard of pastors who have said that the last thing they want to do is to ever embarrass their church. That they would rather die. And we should live that same way. The last thing we want to do is to embarrass our Lord. So there are worse things than dying. For we that are believers, there's a great day coming. Verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. May I put in here, Jesus never did a miracle that a man could do. Jesus could have easily took his finger and moved the stone out of the way. But no, man can move the stone. But he was going to do what man could not do. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. 4 days. The family is there. The friends are there. The whole town is there. They're all seeing what is happening. They're all hearing the accusations against Jesus. They're all wondering, why couldn't he have done something? Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And when I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus said, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now in your mind's eye, try to see this. We find that there are people crying. People are weeping. People are making accusations. People are watching. They're wanting to see what he's going to do. The gravestone is moved away. An odor might come out of the grave. I don't know. Jesus is now praying and they're watching with anticipation. And see Jesus as he cries with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Many have speculated if all he had simply said was come forth, that everybody in the graveyard would have come out. But he called for Lazarus. Now let me ask you this, why just Lazarus? For the glory of the Lord. I may not understand why, but that's how it was. For the glory of the Lord. The family saw it, the friends saw it, those around saw it, and the Pharisees are going to hear about it. Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. We cannot imagine what was going through the minds of those people at that time. You can only imagine the excitement. They didn't care if he smelled, though I don't think the smell of death was on Lazarus when he came out. I think they were excited. And Lazarus, as if waiting, came forth. Now you say, Pastor, was Lazarus really dead? Yeah, he was really dead. He'd been in the grave for 4 days. They knew he was dead. In conclusion, verse 45 and 46. Then many of the Jews which came to Jesus, or came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. May I say this? Jesus creates division. You will either believe him fully or you will reject him. You will either accept him as your Savior or you will say, I'll think about it. I'll go a different direction. We see division in our society today because of Jesus. And there will be this division until we are all gone. And Christ has come and reigned. And when that's over, finally the division will end. The Bible tells us there will come a point in time in which every knee shall bow. And that time, they'll all realize exactly who he is. So the question I ask you this morning, what do you think of Jesus? Good story, fine man, did well, appreciate him coming, loved the stories of Christmas and even at Easter. Or have you accepted him as your personal Savior? That decision is yours. Shall we stand together? We'll sing a song of invitation, 401 only, trust him. Have we trusted him today? If not, the opportunity is here to do so. We'll ask you to come if you'd like and pray. We'd be glad to pray with you, or you can pray by yourself. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that is shown in this chapter of John. We thank you, Lord, for that love that sent you to the cross, dying so that we could have salvation, so that you could redeem us, so that you could pull us out of the slave pit of sin and put our feet on the solid rock. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And we thank you in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.